Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Conor Lawler. Welcome to another week of Movie Mondays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the week's movie news, entertainment news, and just generally having a bit of a chit-chat about everything to do with film. As always, I am joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Sean Meehan. Sean, how is it going?
I'm good, Conor, but more importantly, how are you?
Look, what I will say is I feel like I'm reaping what I've sown. Due to the fact that over the last week, I have taken great pleasure because you said to me, Conor, do not go for runs. It's January. Everyone's getting fit.
And yeah, there was a weather warning like today and yesterday saying it's too cold.
But I also take running as cool. So I thought what would happen is if I would just run last week and this week, I'd get the fitness up. And what has actually happened is I've gone running in January in Ireland and now have a cold.
You're a bit of a sick boy.
I have lots of tissues around me. I have a lemon tea that I'm sipping with some honey. Just because my voice is getting a bit iffy. But, so if you hear
me choking...
Not like
you choking, have some kind of a career based on your voice at all,
I was
Conor.
Really hoping that it wouldn't be noticed. But when I thought about it, I don't really have anything else to distract people.
There's nowhere to hide on the podcast.
It's all I have is this. So, for the 1 week that's in it, Sean, as I am a sick boy, is that you get to carry the show this week of Movie Mondays.
Hell yeah. It's about... You've been holding me back for 2.5 years now, Conor.
Let me off the leash. I'm ready to go, boss.
I'm just going to start swearing and spouting conspiracy theories.
Yeah, go for it. Do you want to start any feuds?
Who's a lovely person that, by all accounts, does not deserve a feud? Keanu Reeves.
Keanu, hey. Keanu, yeah, I don't like your hair. It's too long. You haven't aged. What's up with that?
You're too breathtaking.
You're
what's that all about?
You're too breathtaking. You give too much to charity. It's a cover story, I'm telling you.
It's a cover story for the fact that he gives even more to charity.
Notice why we never go after Tom Cruise, because he could kill us.
To be fair, like, The Rock and Keanu Reeves could probably kill us as well, but they're too nice.
No, I mean, Tom Cruise is more likely to actually kill us, whereas Keanu Reeves and The Rock would probably give us in a hug and go, you're better than this, guys. Come on.
Yeah, they'd show us the error of our ways.
Yeah, maybe three ghosts at Christmas or something. So, Sean, this is Movie Mondays, and we are starting this week. Now, even though I'm sick, that does not mean the movie news world stopped spinning because Connor's got the sniffles. That is, unfortunately, not the case. So we're going to have to start with one of the biggest directors in Hollywood, I would say, or in the world today. That is Mr. Christopher Nolan. Mr. Chrissy N, as we like to call him.
Do we like to call him that?
I've just come up with it, so yes.
Okay, Chrissy N, love it.
Now, what happened a few weeks ago with HBO Max, Sean?
Warner Brothers announced that all of their, like, new theatrical releases would be simultaneously releasing on HBO Max. But they neglected to inform any of the directors, producers, production companies, or crew who worked on those feature
films. Just anyone that would be impacted, really.
Anyone who might have some kind of thought or opinion on that move, they just told them the same time as they told everyone else, over Twitter.
And so, this did not go down well, with a lot of people involved, almost exclusively everyone involved. So, but most importantly, it didn't go down well with the directors.
Yeah, because they were like, we designed these movies to work specifically in theatres.
And the biggest director that did not feel happy with that was Christopher Nolan, who came out and said that he was very, very unhappy with how they dealt with it, and he was rethinking his options. And so the report this week is that the rumour says that Christopher Nolan is unlikely to work with WB or Warner Brothers again after the HBO Max announcement.
I can't blame him at all. What I will say is Christopher Nolan is in a very fortunate position that he can choose not to work with Warner Brothers.
See, he's Christopher Nolan. A studio will come to him.
Exactly. Anyone would be like, they'd be chomping at the bit to get Christopher Nolan involved with their company at all. I feel bad for the small production companies who just have to stick it out now because they're in with someone who will get their film made.
And actually, Christopher Nolan has been with Warner Bros. For over 20 years. Even Memento was with Warner Bros. In 2001.
Like, imagine being Warner Brothers and, like, it's your fault that that relationship is gone. That this acclaimed director who you've been working with essentially from the start...
Is he the biggest director in the world?
...now wants nothing to do with you. I don't know if he's the biggest director in the world, but, like, he's...
Biggest and best aren't the same, though. I mean, like, no. Biggest name recognition.
I see, again, I think it, like, my parents most likely would not know Christopher Nolan in the same way that we would know Christopher Nolan.
Spielberg kind of is the...
The household name.
Yeah.
It would be like Spielberg or Scorsese or anyone like that. But in terms of consistently referred to filmmakers, and, like, Christopher Nolan is, like, he's young enough. Like, in the next 10 or 20 years, I can see him being, like, you know, the Scorsese, like, the standard for filmmaking for a lot of people. And Warner Brothers have just thrown all that out the window.
And, which is such a strange idea, because, as we said, like, you have Christopher Nolan, he's with you for 20 years. They do the HBO Max decision and say that, and they don't even tell him. Like, surely the idea would be you'd go around to the biggest directors you have on site and go, we're going to do this, or we're thinking of doing this. You've been a loyal, you brought us a lot of money. Like, through the Dark Knight trilogy, Dunkirk, Interstellar, Inception, Tenet, how much money has he brought in for that studio? Now, Christopher Nolan has his good points and bad points, but just as a company, I just feel like if you have a star player, you tell the star player you might change managers, or something might change with the tactics before you do it.
Yeah, surely they would have, like, in the same way that you have to announce changes to shareholders and things like that. Without people like Christopher Nolan, Warner Brothers would have a much harder job because they would be trying to do all of this in-house with their own directors, like, on staff, their own producers on staff, and trying to manage all of that themselves. Whereas, as just, like, you know, a distributor, people just come to you with the film essentially already made in a lot of cases.
So my question to you, Sean, then, is where does he go? If he's finished with Warner Brothers, surely Disney, like, offer him truckloads of money until he says yes?
Possible. Now, I don't, like, see, it's tough with Disney because the films that they're generally associated with are more family friendly, I would say, than Christopher Nolan is used to.
Yeah.
But they do have the branch of Searchlight through the Fox merger, and that's how they're going to put out, like, presumably, any future, like, Alien or Predator movies. Like, the not so family friendly ones probably won't get the Disney castle at the start of them. But Searchlight has that, it's a little bit edgier, I would say. And a little bit more mature which I think Nolan might gravitate to. He was in. Apparently, Sony was rumoured, wasn't he?
Oh my god! So Sony could be looking at bringing in Christopher Nolan because all they have is Spider-Man. So you might as well look for him.
That's it. And look, who would have thought 10 years ago that it would be Sony v Disney are the two ones that pop into our head?
I just think, I think it's a massive shooting their in themselves in their own foot. If you, because if he leaves, that does set a precedent that maybe he is the biggest director and he's the only one that can that has the ability to leave. But there's got to be a few people just below him on that level that might also think, you know what, if Christopher Nolan goes, I'm going to get in behind him and, like, go out with him. Like, there's a lot of big... James Gunn is with them as well, currently. Now, he's obviously going back to Disney and Marvel afterwards for Guardians, but just in a case of any sort of director, if you see Christopher Nolan doing it, well, if he's doing it, I'm going to leave too, because he knows what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah, like, it's... And, you know, the film industry is not opposed to massive acts of solidarity. Like it was more TV, but the writer's strike that happened a few years back. Mm. Like, that was everyone being on the same team about the same cause. And so, like, I think directors, especially when it's Christopher Nolan, who he has said, like, multiple times, he just loves film. He loves film making and the craft of it and the art of it.
And he doesn't love telling us about it.
Oh, mad about it. Mad about spending a load of money on celluloid.
And something he doesn't need to.
Doesn't need to do it. But he'll flip a truck. It's fine.
Just because it's the art of filmmaking, man.
He'll crash a plane into a big glass window.
Crash a plane into another plane for the crack.
But I feel like if you were to pick like a champion of cinema, if you will, he's a pretty good bet for someone to follow.
So we will keep you updated on where Christopher Nolan is likely to go. But this is probably, of all the news stories we're covering today, we do have a big trailer for King Kong versus Godzilla that dropped over the weekend. But
true filmmaking
in all of its glory. Christopher Nolan, I'm sure, loves that movie. But there's room for all sorts of movies, Sean. But why this is starting off is because I think this might have the biggest knock-on effect in the movies that we see in the coming years, or how studios react. Like, we're seeing a lot of change in regard to the streaming services, and now with the knock-on effect to the people involved in the move to the streaming services, this could be a big time, just in cinema in general, and how we get delivered our movies over the coming years. So, Sean, speaking of movies that were coming over the coming years, I have a movie that I know you will love. I know you're thinking, I know what you like and I know what you don't like. And one specific thing that you love is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Now, Sean, what if I told you? What are your thoughts so far?
I'm interested to see where this goes.
I want to know, but I don't want to give him the satisfaction of knowing he. I want to know. So,
yeah, consider my interest piqued, okay, but my reservations held.
I can understand. So, a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movie, Sean, but what if I told you it wasn't a sequel? It was a prequel called Wonka. Boom! Young Willy Wonka, we're getting it. It's set for 2023.
Why? Like, what benefit is there to the story? Because Willy... Oh, fuck me. Okay, here we go.
Let's go!
Willy Wonka's only interesting because no one knows anything about him.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to do with the prequel, isn't it?
You're going to have to do a lot of backstory there.
It's just going to be a lot of nobody knows what he did. And he's just like... imagine he just did something really, like, mundane. He just sat around for a few years.
But, like, what if it's... I'm actually lost for words because this is such a bafflingly stupid idea.
But what if I told... I haven't told you who's going to play Willy Wonka. But please, go on.
Is it Jared Leto?
No. I will never include Jared Leto news with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But, Sean, what were you about to say there?
I was about to say that... Are we following, you know, famed artisan chocolatier Willy Wonka, whose only interesting thing is that he makes magical sweets and is locked away in a factory with magical
Loompas. And he ran a competition once.
Ran a competition once. Are we following him before all of that happens?
Yeah. How did he get to be eccentric? That's what I want to know.
But he... Oh, but even in the Johnny Depp one, they touch on it.
They actually
do cover... It's dull as fuck.
They do cover all of his backstory in that Johnny Depp one, yeah. They show
from his childhood wearing weird headgear.
He has the scene where he's like, if you leave this house now, I won't be here when you come back. And then the house is gone. That's a great scene.
There's the Hall of Flags.
Hall of Flags that he just stays in his town. It's all there. We actually see him going through the jungle, finding the Oompa Loompas in that movie. But what if we had a whole long 90-minute project, him going through a jungle, maybe encountering some animals, maybe trying to survive. Maybe the Predator turns up.
Look, that's the only way I'll accept this movie, is if the Predator from the 2018 movie The Predator.
Yes, that one specifically.
Up.
Not the Arnie one, even though he's set in the jungle.
No. I want the Boyd Holbrook The Predator.
Yeah. So, Sean, when you have a young Willy Wonka, you're going to need... This is a big movie. You're going to need some of the hottest young actors in Hollywood currently to take over the role. So...
Yeah. Sorry, before you say it, I have one more guess.
Okay.
And this is the only good casting for a young Willy Wonka.
Okay.
I swear to God. Robert Sheehan.
No. Also, Robert Sheehan is not young anymore, is he?
He's like 20... 30?
There's no way he's 20.
No, he's 20-something. Hang on.
Is
How
he?
Old is he? Definitely.
No.
He was born in 88, making him 33 years old. What the fuck?
See, I still think of him in Misfits.
Yeah, where he's like 17.
Not that 33 is old, but it's weird that he was in Misfits and he's 17 to us in our brains. Always.
Always. Yeah, like to this day.
Yeah. So he can't play young Willy Wonka. I need someone in their 20 or under. Or maybe I'll give you early 20s. It's got to be
early 20s.
Young actors.
Who's a young actor these days? Is one of the Stranger Things kids?
Is it Tom Hanks?
Could it be Tom Hanks? Can we rewrite it to be Tom Hanks?
He has the range.
Is it Tom Holland?
Tom Holland is the number one choice, and number two that they are currently courting is Timothy Chalamet. So,
what?
That is the two choices to play Willy Wonka.
Oh, I don't like these. Those are bad choices.
Why? You like Tom Holland and Timothy Chalamet.
I like them both, but they're both better than this Wonka movie.
I think we all are, Sean. I think we all are.
How's it... Okay, what slowed-down song are they going to use in the trailer?
Hurt. Hurt by Johnny Cash.
Is it Hurt by Johnny Cash?
It's going to be black and white. And it's just Timothy Chalamet looking in the mirror going, I fucking love chocolate.
Or it's going to be a really slow version of Pure Imagine... You know, Come With Me and You'll Speak in a World of Pure Imagine. It's going to be that.
Yeah, and it's going to be, like, real serious.
Yeah, they're going to try and play it straight, despite the fact that every version of Willy Wonka is a lunatic.
Willy Wonka, we have very much decided, is a complete maniac in all of those films.
He's willing to let any of those kids die.
Yeah, he's willing
Even
to kill
Charlie.
You, me, himself. He doesn't care.
What if it follows Grandpa Joe during the war?
What if it follows Grandpa Joe every single day when he wakes up and thinks, nah, today is not the day I'm standing up. Fuck that.
Yeah,
and the movie just goes like that.
Wait on me hand and foot, everyone.
Wait on me. There's a chocolate factory tour on hand. Fucking let's go. Oh, me knees are
fine.
Fucking
dancing time.
Oh, jeez, the time for a little jig. Go away, Grandpa Joe. Where were you on the hard times? Nowhere.
Oh, you're a piece of shit, Grandpa Joe.
I'd like to see that movie.
I'll allow it.
So that Willy Wonka is getting a prequel shot, but I think it all comes down to, with all prequels, is the character more or less interesting before the big movie that he's already in?
It's so much less, especially in this case, because we as an audience don't know Willy Wonka until Gene Wilder walks down the carpet and does a front flip. And that's all you need to know about.
Or like the Johnny Depp version when he's just like, Papa? And he's looking into the distance. Like, that is way funnier if you know nothing about what happened.
Yeah, where Johnny Depp is having these weird flashbacks in the middle of the tour.
Like he's thinking of Nam. Like, he's just like, Papa, oh no. And he's just staring into the distance.
Every time it cuts back and all of the adults and kids are just looking at him.
Like, that's great. Like,
that's amazing. But not if he's just a regular boy who loves chocolate and becomes a chocolatier.
And then he starts kidnapping people.
Connor, we've already had a Johnny Depp film called Chocolat.
Oh my god. Bring Johnny Depp back for this movie.
Yeah, is it set in any of the canon universes?
Like, I don't think so. Look, you're asking me questions that nobody cares about. I don't know.
Is Christopher Lee still his dad?
Christopher Lee is still his dad, yes.
Okay, go on. Is it
Christopher Lee is all of our dad.
Oh man, that's Count Dooku?
Yeah, but he seems nice enough in that movie. Well, at the end, like.
At the end, yeah.
Yeah. At the start, he moves a whole house just to get away from his son.
Yeah, he abandons a 12-year-old.
He shouldn't have went to that Hall of Flags. The bastard.
The bastard.
So yes, Tom Holland or Timothy Chalamet could be playing a young Willy Wonka. That is already locked in for 2023. Which I still think of us in 2020. So every week that I'm setting up movie news or whatever, I'm like doing the things. It's like, this movie's set to come out 2021. I'm like, oh, that's next year. Wait, that's not next year.
That's today year.
That's now. So yes, Willy Wonka is getting a prequel. Everyone rejoice. This is the most interesting version of that character. We're going to move on to another piece of good movie series that they are now expanding the franchise, Sean. Because I have Harry Potter and the Wizarding World franchise is expanding at Warner Brothers.
Aren't they, like, really waiting on a fucking next Fantastic Beasts movie at the same time?
I mean, they do have that, but that's kind of got off the boil. So what if we kept doing them, but then just decided that we're just going to do a whole bunch of other stuff as well to try and distract you from the mildness of those movies?
Is it true HBO Max, and is it some kind of police procedural, maybe?
Everything on HBO Max is fucking Wallander or Broadchurch. Like, it's all just criminal shit.
Like, to be fair, like, the wizard, like, the what's it called? The Ministry of Magic?
Yeah.
You could do some interesting, like, stories there, but they're probably not going to do, like, oh, there's a wizarding serial killer. Just going around butchering people.
They're
probably
Voldemort?
Not going to do that. That, you know what? That is Voldemort. But they never touch on the amount of people he really kills.
Lads, no, seriously. There's a really bad serial killer going around killing all these wizards. And someone's just like, have we not already had one of them? Yeah, it's another one. It's another one. And he's just as bad.
In many ways worse, because this one isn't associated with some prophecy bullshit. He's just a lunatic.
He just likes killing. He's just mad about it. What they said in their statement was, in Harry Potter and the Wizarding World, Sean, we have an iconic franchise and characters that have become a beloved part of the lives of millions around the world. I added
this is a speech you give to investors,
by the way. A PR person has come up with this, but let's try and whittle down on the bullshit. This new management of the franchise highlights its enormous importance to Warner Bros. And the myriad of opportunities. Oh, fuck it, hell.
Rubs hands together saying cha-ching.
Absolutely. We see for continued to myriad of opportunities, dollar signs in the eyes. We see
toys,
for
books, lunchboxes.
Daniel Radcliffe, too old. What if we got a new kid? We see for continuing to engage and delight fans of all ages across the globe. I'm excited for Tom to be leading our efforts. I look to him and his team to work across the company to discover innovative and creative ways of keeping the Wizarding World fresh and relevant for years to come.
Profitable is what that means.
Harry Potter, not including the Fantastic Beasts prequels, has made $8 billion at the box office.
Fuck me.
That's a lot of money.
Jesus. That is a lot of money. And I guess they were thinking, Pottermania has died down quite a bit in recent years.
Well, JK has tried her best to make it die down quite a lot recently.
Tried her best to properly kill that franchise, hasn't she?
She took out the shotgun And she said, I'm going to make sure nobody talks to me again.
Said, shut your eyes, Harry.
So, no projects specifically have been announced by Warner Bros. At this time, is what I should say. But they have sent out two press releases saying they're working on more Harry Potter stuff. Sean, does this franchise need more expansions, such as, like, maybe a Star Wars kind of other random areas of the galaxy? Or should we just leave it that you nailed 8 movies, and they're all really good for what they are, just leave it and just move on?
Yeah, it's tough, you see, because some stuff is interesting and I'd like to see more of. As I said, the Ministry for Magic stuff, that could be interesting. But it just sounds so, like, desperate is the word I want to use. We're just like, what if we make a TV series? What if we tell a bunch of small wizarding stories? But the Harry Potter universe is kind of built around these big event-style releases. Like, every book and every movie was like people will be waiting outside at midnight to experience it. I don't know if that'll have the same level of hype and success if it's, oh, we'll turn on our laptop at 12 a.m. and watch it then.
No, you know? It's very strange that, like, if they could do a series, I suppose, and they could put it on HBO Max. It's there. You might as well. You're with Warner Media, so you have that ability. But it is very strange if they do another, like, massive movie series over, like, 7 movies. I don't think anyone wants that. For example, the Fantastic Beasts prequels, they've gotten the 3, well, they've gotten the 2, and people have already kind of given up, and there's meant to be 5 at Ozjoks.
Yeah, like the first one was quite good, but the second one...
The second one is bad. The second one is so bad.
It's just objectively a bad film.
So they're making a turn at 4th and 5th, because the problem is they signed on to 5 straight away. And that was fine when you had the Harry Potter movies, because you had 7 books. So we know they're coming out. Let's copy off them. But to do this... They're just saying they're going to make the franchise bigger. We don't know how right now. How, if in an ideal world, if they have to expand it, what way would you like them to expand it?
Ooh, so if I had full creative control.
Yeah, what straight away, what would you say? We're not doing that. I'm taking this instead.
Do you know what could be fun, actually? Is like, these are two very different genres, but either like The Queen's Gambit, but for Quidditch, or Mean Machine, but for Quidditch.
I'd watch a Mean Machine for Quidditch. I absolutely would.
I like a ragtag team of Quidditch players.
And Adam Sandler's there. By.
You're thinking of arrested? Dodgeball.
No, I'm thinking of The Longest Yard.
I know.
which is the same movie, just translated to American football. But what if Adam Sandler was there? And Goldberg showed up, and I'd like to see Goldberg on a broom.
Like, here's I would like to see a Harry Potter genre that isn't action-adventure, if that makes sense.
I don't know if that'll sell, though.
Probably not, but I think it would be more interesting than a by-the-numbers Harry Potter story. Because also, you can't just plop those characters into any situation and have it make sense. By all accounts, that play that they did, The Cursed Child, not great in terms of story.
Why don't you bring all the old guys back, do that weird makeup thing you did? Fucking perfect!
They didn't make him look older, just more tired.
No, Daniel Radcliffe still looks the same. He's aging well, that chap.
Aging great.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, expand the universe by telling different types of stories. It, like, not everything has to be a world-ending plot. Not everything has to be the fate of the wizarding world hangs in the balance.
You could have, minor parts of the wizarding world hangs in the balance.
Yeah, like, you know, or do, like, tell about a family of wizards, like, trying to fit in normal society or something like that.
Ooh.
Like, they're trying to hide it, and then it's like this whole thing of, like, no, accept who you are, everyone else will as well, eventually.
And do it as a HBO Max series of 6 episodes.
Do not drag this shit out for 18. Season 4 this.
Do not Arrow season. Why are we so much invested in Arrow recently?
I don't know. It's just a good reference for a show completely dropping off.
By the way, if anyone doesn't know, we have put up a new episode on our Patreon this weekend. Yesterday, that we did Guardians of the Galaxy. And we did a review of one of my favourite movies of all time. And it didn't really feel like a review. It just felt like me talking to my pal about a movie that I really like.
It's like how we used to hang out in college.
Yeah. Oh my god, did you see that? Oh my god, I did.
Wasn't that class when he did the... Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I just wanted to say that because I just thought of it and that it was very much fun. So if you want to head over to the Patreon right now, you can get that and all the other Lazarus Pit shows that we've done. We've got loads of reviews up there of Batman Begins and Spider-Man 2 and all sorts of stuff. But Sean, we're moving on to another franchise that we have not seen in a long time that's getting a reboot. What if I told you... I'm just going to say the headline. You tell me what you feel.
Okay.
The Naked Gun reboot wants Liam Neeson in the lead.
Oh. Hang on now. Okay, so Naked Gun, classic parody film franchise.
We love it. Naked Gun's great.
Naked Gun's amazing. And Liam Neeson as the lead. That's right.
And I think he could do it.
Yeah, he stepped back recently. He said, I'm not going to do any more action movies.
No, not what he said. As a man who does movie news, he specifically said, I'm not going to do any more action movies after the next three. Which I feel is a bit of a cop-out, Liam.
Yeah, well, he's already contracted on those.
He's got three more lined up, but after that, I am done. I am finished, lads. After three more of the same movie where I kill a bunch of people over my daughter, I am done.
So, I can see him as, what, do you think he'd be the Leslie Nielsen in The Naked Gun?
Yeah, I don't think he could be anyone else. I think he has to be, Liam Neeson has to be the Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, very good. You know, you could write a joke around that in the movie.
I'm sure they will, but what if I also told you that he has been approached, Neeson divulged these details, and he said he was approached by Mr. Seth MacFarlane and Paramount Studios to maybe resurrect the Naked Gun films.
Interesting. How much of an audience do you think there is for the Naked Gun franchise at this point, for new ones?
That's something I don't know, because me and you, those old movies are classics, and I personally love them. My favourite is actually Loaded Weapon. Instead of Lethal Weapon.
You've said this to me, yeah.
Yeah, that's my favourite one. And that's just because I remember, I think that was the first one I seen under an airplane. And Airplane's obviously the best one. But Loaded Weapon is my favourite due to the fact that, it has the scene where they're just the two cops are driving and they're like, I think we're being followed. And the two guys are actually in the back seat of their car. Yeah. And then he's like, I'll try and lose them. And they really turned really sharply. And then it cuts back to the car and the two guys are gone. And I just thought, what the fuck is this? I remember watching it going, this is the most ludicrous thing ever. No movie has ever been this silly. And I was perfectly... I was 10 or 11. So I was perfect age. But the Naked Gun franchise, I think, worked so much better back then because a lot of heroes were all they were all Stallone. They were all unkillable. And so the idea that this movie didn't take itself seriously was kind of what sold it. Not O.J. Simpson. I just want to really nail down it was not because
hammer
of him.
Hammer that home. Not
it
good.
Wasn't because of him. But I think those movies worked a lot better in the world that it was in, because there was a lot of movies back then that took themselves very seriously, and that kind of just got to take the piss out of everything. Do you think that could work now, though? I mean, I suppose it could, because the movies do take themselves seriously now, but I feel like there's so much comedic projects currently going on either in streaming or in movie that are kind of spoofs themselves. Is this unique anymore?
Yeah, see, there's a lot of Naked Gun is entirely parody, but not in a Meet the Spartans kind of way.
Or
a
like,
Scary Movie kind
of way. Yeah, yeah. Scary Movie is like Naked Gun, but like level down, like watered down four levels.
Yeah, Naked Gun is extremely clever, extremely dry as well.
But yeah, extremely clever, but looks dumb.
Yeah, you, like it's enjoyable by anyone, because sometimes there's hilarious antics and sometimes there's a joke that's four layers deep and you don't get it till the night after you watch it.
Yeah.
But I also think that movies now that you can parody, it's very easy to go to the lowest form of comedy with those, like the superhero genre. You could literally just have, like, you know, people with their underpants outside their regular pants. And
I mean,
all this
Deadpool
kind of
has already done the spoof of the superhero thing.
Yeah, Deadpool is more calling attention to it. But yeah, that's the form of it's self parody at that point. Whereas if you were doing a new Naked Gun series, the absolute best play would be to slowly build up to a Naked Gun style Infinity War / Endgame.
Yeah, it would.
Where, like, surviving actors from the original series, not O.J. Simpson.
Not the juice. Do not let that juice loose.
But, like, bring them back and things like that. Like, I don't know how. You need to have the cleverest writers in Hollywood as well to make that movie.
Do you think Seth MacFarlane is that guy?
I don't know. Like, he's odd. Like, he's a wild one, because a lot of his stuff can be just seen as, oh, this is the basis level of what comedy can be defined as.
Mm.
But then also there are some clever jokes in things like, even movies like A Million Ways to Die in the West and Ted and stuff like that. There's a couple of glimmers of genuine, like, oh, that's quite clever. That's quite funny.
And I do think Seth MacFarlane is good. Like, I think he is very funny. And I feel like Family Guy does get a bad rep, but I think Family Guy can be hilarious. It's just a case of people see, like, the crudest jokes, and then they're just kind of like, oh, like, that's the level.
Painted with the same brush kind
of
thing.
Yeah, and I feel like it's kind of unfair to him to do that. Now, he can be unfunny, but I think most times he does at least get a chuckle or a laugh. The issue is, like, say with Ted 2 or something, I feel like that wasn't funny in any way.
No.
So it's where he comes in. As you said, the Naked Gun movies can only work. Liam Neeson, actually, I think is perfect comedically for that lead role. And I don't think you would look at Liam Neeson and think, funny, but he did a sketch, I remember, with Ricky Gervais.
Wait, Ricky Gervais, yeah, I was just going to bring this up.
A few years ago, and he is hilarious. Like, comedically, we've never actually really seen him in a comedy, like, out-and-out comedy, but I think he could be hilarious as a straight man that never cracks and all this shit is going on around him. But it's interesting what you said, that the Naked Gun movies are very, very clever, but look really dumb. And the problem is, with all the scary movies, they looked really dumb, and they were really dumb. And they just kept going base level constantly. And I feel like, I'm worried that if they reboot it, they'll go straight to base level.
Yeah, and they'll just try and do it as quickly as possible, and think, oh, this is just, these are dumb movies, it can be dumb. But you need the clever kind of dumb.
Which is a weird thing to say, but you know what I mean. Or you know what we mean, don't you?
I hope everyone gets that, like what we're saying. Like, it's the dry delivery and the absurd, like, you know, fourth or fifth dimension jokes that work. Like the guys being chased. Like, try and get a writer to come up with that now. Because also, so many of those jokes have been done. I wonder what's left to be kind of discovered.
I suppose, like, even, like, the human condom from the first Naked Gun. Like, that is such a dumb idea. Like, the full-size one, or, like, an airplane, where it's like, surely you can't be serious, I am serious, and don't call me Shirley. But in that same movie, you have the thing of your one is freaking out in the seat, and then the lady shakes her, and then there's a big long line of, like, Muhammad Ali and a nun with nunchucks.
Yeah, and there's someone just has a revolver.
Yeah, and a revolver. So, like, I think you can have all these jokes, but I think at the time you're like, oh, that's silly. But then the next day you're telling them to your friends and you're all cracking up laughing. I feel like these spoof movies haven't done that in a few years. And I'm worried that this won't be that. But if they can pull it off, I'm delighted because I think it could be a really funny idea.
Yeah, yeah. In concept, I like that they're trying this. I just hope they pull it off.
Okay, so we're going to move on to another idea that Sony might have. Now, they might be snapping up Christopher Nolan shot, but they're also doing other things involving everyone's favourite character, Spider-Man, that they own and they're not giving back. And so,
never, not once, not on your life will they ever give Spider-Man back
now,
fully.
Now, we know that Sony have been trying to set up Venom. They've been trying to set up Morbius the Living Vampire because they're trying to get a Spider-Man universe going. But they are trying to expand their roster of Spider-Man adjacent films kind of thing, because they're trying to build their own cinematic universe.
Yes.
Which is Spider-Man. Or some people from Spider-Man. So, the latest character that they say might be getting a spin-off is Spider-Man's Dusk. Sean, who is Dusk in the Spider-Man lore?
Oh, here's the best answer to any Marvel-related question.
Yep.
Which version of Dusk?
That I don't know.
Right.
I do not know which one they're choosing.
No worries. As a quick by the by.
They do say that it will be most likely to center around Cassie Sid Cobbins.
Yeah, that's the main Dusk, shall we
say. Okay.
So, Dusk originally was a leader of a group of rebels in the Negative Zone who Spider-Man helped out. The leader died. Spider-Man put on the costume and led them into battle. After that, Spider-Man kept the costume and used it when he was accused of murder at some point. But he was like, oh, no one likes Spider-Man anymore, but I still got to save people. So he dressed up as Dusk to help people.
How sad. I don't need somebody else.
He's so needy. But then there's a girl called Cassie St. Commons. And she basically has no superpowers at the start, but kind of falls in with a superhero group. And their initiation for joining the team is that, oh, just jump across the buildings, that's fine. And all the superpowered kids can do it. But Cassie is regular, but she jumps anyway.
What?
No one's paying attention to her and she falls to her death.
That's the end of this movie.
End of the movie. But Cassie was then left in a state somewhere in between life and death.
Don't tell me she was licked back to life by cats. Batman.
Not at all, but very
style.
Similar. Very similar in terms of concept. But she has powers like she can like teleport, and she's kind of made of shadows, and she can affect people psychically and things like that.
Okay,
I might do a Hero Zero on her because she's actually quite interesting. But she's a very dark character in terms of powers, and you know, she's constantly living in between life and death, and she's alive but she doesn't have a heartbeat, and she's really distant with everyone because of it.
But you know who else is between life and death, Sean?
I think I know who you're going to say. But
Morbius the Living Vampire.
Yes, indeed he is.
What a way to get her involved. They are going darker. They have Venom. They have Morbius. It's weird that like they have Spider-Man, who's, in my eyes, is always like the brightest, most colourful character ever. And they're just going Venom, Morbius, Dusk. Just shadows. Just love shadows.
Yeah, like, and the thing is, this could be a really cool character visually. Like, imagine a superhero made of like smoke and shadow coming at you.
Yeah, fuck. And you can do really cool things with that.
Yeah, and you also have this really complex like story of what does it actually mean to be alive? You know, like,
fucking hell.
Because Cassie and Morbius, in a lot of ways, you could play them as being like, yeah, Cassie's closer to being dead than alive. Morbius is closer to being alive than dead. But who's really doing more with that?
Oh my god. You could go so deep, like, so down the rabbit hole for this movie. But before we start getting good, this is Sony and their Spider-Man universe without Spider-Man. Let's just Everyone take a breath.
Yeah, we've currently seen one film in the universe.
That was Venom.
And it was fine at best.
I would say less than fine. I mean, he eats that guy's head and then turns back into Tom Hardy and he's chewing. I'm still not okay with that.
I can't get behind cannibalism. That's where I'll draw the line.
Willy Wonka says in the Johnny Depp one, cannibalism, now that is frowned upon in most countries. Everything in this room is edible. Even you are edible.
But I think that, if you had said this to me like 2 or 3 years ago, it's like, oh, which do you think will do the best out of Venom, Morbius, or Dusk? I would not have picked Dusk. But now I think that's one I'd be really interesting to see, and it's something that we haven't seen yet.
And I think that she could react or interact with Tom Holland's Spider-Man really well. Like, if she's a hero, but she's very dark, and Tom Holland is, as we all know, he's got that youthful charm, he's all, like, doughy-eyed, and he's just nice, and he's just trying his best. And then on the far side, you have this very dark hero, but they're both heroes, and they're both trying to save people.
Yeah, but they might go about it in different ways.
You could even have a Spider-Man Dusk team-up against Morbius and Venom.
That could work. That could work really well. And imagine Spider-Man and Dusk teaming up, saving someone. Like, they would get very different reactions versus, you know, the friendly, colourful Spider-Man or the creature of death made of shadow and smoke. Mm. Citizens in New York would react very differently to those two, and that might have an effect on, you know, Dusk and Spider-Man's relationship.
And I think this is very much a building block, because we've known for some time that Sony are trying to build their own universe. And so Olivia Wilde, if you remember, was signed on to direct, we think it's Spider-Woman, but that's not confirmed. So if Spider-Woman is there, you also have a Kraven the Hunter movie that they are attempting to make, along with a Black Cat movie that they are attempting to make. You also have Morbius, Venom, now Dusk. There's a lot of characters here you can use in a Spider-Verse kind of situation.
Yeah, like, it's... And we'll have to see what happens when Spider-Man 3 comes out with Marvel, because that looks to tie in... Sorry, Morbius looks to tie in to that universe as well. So I don't know how transferable all these characters are to each other. But it would be nice to see, like, Tom Holland, Peter Parker have a team his own age.
Why would he need a team, though, Sean? Like, who would he be up against?
If I had to pick a number, perhaps six villains?
Six. And are they sinister?
They're not nice, I'll tell you that much.
And it would be easy to bring a few of them across. Like, you have Black Cat and Kraven and all there, but it would be quite easy to bring them across, seeing as though you're opening dimensions to Alfred Molina and other people from other movies.
So perhaps take a route through the negative zone, maybe.
Maybe just once or twice, and then you have 6v6 and battle to the death.
And also, the comic that Cassie St. Commons first appeared in is called Slingers.
Interesting.
Now, wouldn't that be a good team name for some kind of, you know, spider-related characters?
See, I think it would be a better team name for, like, people in the Wild Wild West.
No, Connor, that's what cowboys are.
Sorry.
You've gotten confused again.
But a bunch of cowboys call them the Slingers.
That's called what's it called? What's a group of cowboys called?
A school of cowboys.
A school of cowboys.
Everybody knows that, Sean. So we're going to move on to our next piece of news. And this is actually news that it kind of relates to HBO Max and everything that we were talking about earlier on.
It's a posse.
It's not a posse. It's just not. So we're moving on to Top Gun Maverick, Sean. Now, Paramount are releasing a new Top Gun movie where Tom Cruise will ultimately try to kill himself all over again. But they're also... There's an issue called The Global Bastard currently going on that's pushing a lot of things back. And things might be moving to streaming services. And my news today is that Top Gun Maverick, Paramount has reportedly passed on offers from Netflix and Apple to send the film to streaming, deciding instead that they're going to basically go completely through with releasing it in theatres because they think it'll make its money back, even though Netflix and Apple have offered to buy it.
Oh, they're going to be kicking themselves when this doesn't work.
I was just about to... I was thinking the same thing. Now, Top Gun Maverick, do you think they could get enough money in the cinemas? If Tenet didn't make a lot of money and Wonder Woman didn't make a lot of money, do you think Top Gun Maverick has that juice to send it over the 1 billion mark?
I'm actually not sure because, like, it could be a big summer blockbustery movie, but also summer could be a lot different than other summers, as we've previously learned in terms of film releases.
Mm.
I'm not sure that it's got the sticking power that a movie that's not Top Gun Maverick might have. I think a Mission Impossible might do okay, but I've thought from the start that Top Gun Maverick will not do as well as they think it will do.
No, I think it would have done well in the 90s, maybe, but like I think now it's okay. Like, you'll get a lot of people going out, but I don't think you're going to get massive amounts. Like, if this came out in a normal year, it's coming out July 2nd, so it's the 4th of July weekend, which is the perfect time to bring this movie out, if you have a movie about fighter pilot action. But I think Top Gun Maverick, although it does have Tom Cruise, and it is a beloved 80s film, I don't know if it's a built-in audience that's that big. I think there's a lot of people that have nostalgia, but I don't know if it's going to drive people to the cinema to be like, oh, better go see that Top Gun movie. Tom Cruise is in. He's the hottest name in Hollywood.
It's not... I'm trying to think of an example, but it's not so much...
Independence Day 2.
There you go. That is exactly right, Connor. That everyone thought that was a surefire thing.
Ah, but they didn't have Big Will left. They didn't have Big Will anymore. This has Big Will just in Tom Cruise form.
But I also don't think that he's the box office draw. Well, I say this, but his movies keep making money.
Well, no. Mission Impossible movies keep making money. The Mummy, not so much.
You know what, you're right. And fair dues to you, Connor. You called me on my bullshit. I think that... In a pandemic, maybe big plane movie isn't the thing that will drive people to go to the cinema.
I think if Avengers Endgame came out on July 2nd, it wouldn't make $1 billion.
No, that's totally fair to say, because it wouldn't and it shouldn't.
No, but and so if Top Gun Maverick even makes half, even makes its budget back, because I'm assuming it cost $100 million to make... Tom Cruise does not come cheap for a Top Gun remake.
No, but do you think they'll try and sell it again to Netflix and Apple when it hits May?
Yeah. I think they're currently sitting on the fact, oh, it'll get better. It'll get better. I'm worried that in May, they'll think, we probably should have sold it to Netflix in January because now they have no interest in having it.
Yeah, and now no one has any interest in watching it because it's been pushed back again.
So we're going to finish off Movie Mondays this week, Sean, with our final piece of news, and that is the big trailer of the week. Now, this is a movie that was not pushed back, but in fact pushed forward to March of this year. It was originally during the summer, and they said, no, we're going to push it to March 26th. And that is Godzilla vs. Kong. And it got its official trailer yesterday, I think it was. Or was it this morning? I think it was yesterday.
Yesterday, and 24th.
This is Legendary's Monsterverse that they're trying to set up. Now, this is like the fourth movie, including you've got King Kong and you've got two Godzilla movies. So, this is the fourth one of that. Sean, you have watched the movie, or the trailer. I've watched the trailer. What are your thoughts on this?
Okay. I haven't seen any of the Kong movies, but King Kong looks pretty good. Like, as an effect,
he looks gigantic.
Looks massive, which I suppose is good for this monster movie.
Someone needs to check that man, do a drug test or something, because in between movies, he got gigantic. But they do say in the Kong film that he's not finished growing, which I feel is like a loose...
He was like a child in the first one, really.
I suppose, yeah. You could be like, oh, he got massive over time.
He got jacked. He got swole. But yeah. I have two things to say.
He was talking to Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, he dehydrated himself for 3 days. That's why he looks so big.
He's going to pop out of a fucking tank of water now with claws. Look at me!
In terms of this movie, I have two things I need to say. One, is Godzilla the bad guy? Because in the Godzilla movie, he seemed like a good guy.
Godzilla has constantly seemed like a good guy, or not even a good guy, but he turns up, fucks up the bad guys, and then goes back to sleep, is my opinion of him. But I think in this one, the impression that I got is that Godzilla might be under control of somebody else, or else the two of them have been tricked. Do you know what I think this is, Sean? And I'm sorry to say it. I think this is the plot of Batman vs. Superman. Without Max Landis doing the thing. I think what's going to happen is that the two of them are going to fight for the first two-thirds of the film. And then there's going to be a big bad person that shows up, an even bigger monster. And there's going to be a moment where they look at each other and think, we got to work together. And then a Wonder Mothra will turn up and he'll say, is she with you? And then Godzilla will say, I thought she was with you.
I don't think you're too far wrong there. Now, my second question. How the fuck does King Kong put up a fight against Godzilla?
That is a very interesting question due to the fact that there's literally no way. Godzilla has, like, nuclear blast. He's got, like, superpowers.
Yeah, he's powered by atomic energy.
Yeah, Godzilla, King Kong, he's got lots of moxie. I'll give him that. But I feel like Kong steps up, Godzilla, nuclear blast to the face, 2 seconds, game over. Everyone go home, we've all had a fun day.
King Kong, who's canonically been killed by some guns.
Godzilla, canonically never killed by a few guns. These are all the stat sheets that come up before the fight.
Like, I don't understand how it's... In the trailer, it looks like he catches the atomic breath. How? And second of all, like, I'm just, maybe I need to watch the Kong movies. Maybe they explain. Maybe there's an after credits scene when they're like, well, Godzilla went mental. But I
think the plot of the movie is that Godzilla might be going, I think Godzilla's being controlled by somebody else.
Now, yeah, they say he's hurting people and we don't know why.
Yeah, we don't know why. I think he might be either being mind controlled or it's a fucking robot Godzilla, I don't know. But there's some scenario where Godzilla's being framed, basically, right? And they're like, we're going to ruin the good name of Godzilla for some reason. And everyone's like, we don't know what to do. We better go get Kong. And we strap him to a boat and bring him out to the ocean and let him fight him. And I think that's the start of the trailer. But I don't know... Also, I wanted to say that the music in this trailer is so bad it made me laugh out loud about how ridiculous the music is. That it kicks in just as the fight begins and it's made me really cool. And I was thinking, if I was 12... this would be the most fun I've ever watched watching a trailer. But watching it now, I just burst out laughing at that music choice. I was just like, that is so ridiculous as a concept to put that song in here, watching a gorilla fight a Godzilla.
Yeah, and look, to its credit, it does, the whole thing looks quite good.
Oh yeah, the CGI is really, really good.
Yeah, it's unreal. The city is a really cool design. It's like this weird cyberpunk mess of lights.
I like the sound effects. And I didn't like the music, but the sound of Godzilla and Kong and, like, just whoever was working on the sound on the project, like, they did a really good job. Because you feel the power of both of them.
Yeah, specifically the atomic breath sound effect that they have for
that's
Godzilla
really good.
In these movies.
Whoever came up with that effect, get them a promotion.
Yeah, now... I don't know if March is the right time for this movie. Is it solely theatrical or will this do a streaming thing as well?
It will be available to stream on HBO Max from the same date.
Interesting. So this is the benchmark then, really. After Wonder Woman, of course.
It'll be available on HBO Max for 31 days. And after that, it'll be off HBO Max.
Yeah, sorry, I've been playing, while we've been talking, I've been playing the trailer through again. with subtitles on. And when it gets to the big fight, the subtitles just say, brackets, hip-hop continues.
Hip-hop does continue. I love when hip-hop continues. Oh,
I hate when hip-hop stop.
Oh, that, we're so white. When hip-hop stop, I be sad. When hip-hop continues, I be happy. That's what I always say, Sean. That's my chest tattoo.
Who do you think is going to win?
I don't think either of them are going to win. I see, this is so similar to Superman versus Batman. Godzilla should absolutely batter Kong. Like, around the place. It shouldn't even be a fight. But the movie will make sure that Kong has some sort of advantage. And then they have to stop fighting because there's an even bigger monster on the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought of another one.
Go for it.
It'll end when Godzilla says, "Save Mothra! Save Mothra!"
Oh, very good.
Yes!
Very good.
I hope Max Landis isn't here. Just like, let's get them to fight.
You mean Jesse Eisenberg?
No, I mean Max Landis. Jesse Eisenberg playing Max Landis.
Oh, I see. Of course, yes. Now it all makes sense.
Yeah. Did you see the little girl? Like, Kong will only talk to the little girl. So you have to go get...
What the fuck's up with that?
I don't know.
How do you discover that that's a thing? Like, have they just been throwing things and will it work? Maybe he'll talk to a dog.
Raccoon. Cow. This little girl we found in the street. Oh! That worked.
Like a little King Kong doll.
Oh, it is! No, we gave the dog the King Kong doll. Didn't fucking do nothing with it. Just ate it.
Made Kong angry. Damn you, Rex! Kong saw that as a threat.
Yeah, I think Tokyo looked really cool. And I do think it's going to be a fun monster mashup or fight. I think people shouldn't look down on this type of movie. I think it's a silly fun romp. Let's watch fucking Godzilla versus Kong fight for a little bit.
Yeah, it is. Let's watch big monsters punch each other. It's Pacific Rim, but
it's Pacific Rim. Yeah, just with the two monsters instead of robots and monsters. But also, did you see King Kong has Mjolnir at the end?
Yeah. What's up with that?
It looks like he's used a spike from the back of Godzilla, and like. Sharpened it, because they say like there was a war and they're the two last standing warriors kind of shit, so maybe they fought before and King Kong took one of his spikes on his back and made it an axe.
Maybe, but I don't know. Yeah, I suppose, and maybe that's how he's absorbing the atomic breath, because it's like part of Godzilla or whatever. But Godzilla could also just aim slightly lower, right? And kill Kong immediately.
I think Godzilla go straight for the stomach. Call it all off. Just chop him in half.
I think I know what's going on.
Go on.
I think the government have made a mecha Godzilla.
Yes.
Powered by nuclear energy.
Oh my god.
And Godzilla is like, no. I won't have that. I don't like other monsters.
Yeah.
And so... Now he's seeing like, okay, humans are the problem. Because the whole thing in the first one, Ken Watanabe told us that Godzilla was there to balance the planet.
And he told us so eloquently as well.
He also said, let them fight.
He did! And I believed him!
Which has been apparently incorporated into all military planning now in this universe.
It just seems like, to be fair, there isn't a part where he could go, you know what, we should stop them fighting. I think at this stage, just let them... You've got nothing, Ken. There's nothing you can do.
Can you make yourself redundant with those three words?
Yeah, the next day he had a little box putting all his stuff into it. Why did I say that?
Fucking hell, Ken.
Yeah, I think Godzilla could be mad at humans. They bring in Kong to stop him. Then they become friends. And then they have to fight an even bigger monster.
I think you've called that entirely right. We'll see come March, I suppose. Yeah. What the actual outcome is.
So, Sean, that is actually it for this week's Movie Mondays.
What a fun-filled week, packed with movie news. You managed to stay alive during the whole thing. I'm very proud of you.
I'm going to go to sleep now for a long time.
If you do not hear from me, goodbye.
By Wednesday. I'll wake back up just before recording Wednesday's weird news.
Can you put the show together first? Because I don't like to do work.
I just say we wing it. Let's just guess.
We'll just scroll through Reddit and pick shit out.
Oh, did you see this? That's cool.
Slowly send the link over WhatsApp.
Do you want to take us out?
Yes, thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Movie Mondays. We will be back on Wednesday, as we just said, with Weird News Wednesday, Friday with Hero or Zero, and next Monday with another episode of Movie Mondays. Big thanks to everyone who supports us over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast. Special shout-outs, of course, have to go to Waffles Williams, Kira Lawler, David Clark, Ed Ball, Joe Burney, Ray Ging, Roisin Halley, Ryan Evanson, Sean Jamieson, Dominic, Josiah Green, Anna Helmroos, Richard, Little Dickie McGrew, and
oh, what a name.
Luke Hothoff Podcast.
Don't Thank think you. We didn't notice that, Richard.
Oh, we caught that. We caught that. I've been debating in my head whether to say it, but I just went for it. But yeah, thanks everyone there so much. We hope you enjoyed the review that we did of Guardians of the Galaxy on Patreon. It was really fun to talk about a movie we both like for a change.
Yeah.
And other than that, there is a Heroes for Hire merch shop if you want to support the show that way. Get some sick threads to wear while you fight some giant gorillas.
Sick threads.
Yeah, can we just change? Can we make a shirt that says Hip Hop Continues?
Hip Hop Continues, yes, that should be our next shirt.
There's a link to that in the description if you are so inclined. Also there, all of our social media links and the email address, heroesforhire_outlook.com. But I think that's about it, Connor.
So, I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Meehan.
And I hope to catch you when I'm not as big sick boy. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.